Well, good morning, everyone. It's Pastor Matt here, and glad to be with you again online. We are looking forward, as Rosemary said, to gathering in person next Sunday. We'll continue to be able to share our worship services online, so if you're not able to return or ready to return, please do continue to worship with us online, whether it's our Facebook page or our online platform. However you're getting here today, I just want to say I'm glad that you're part of the worship service. We're continuing in our sermon series through the book of Acts, and we're going to be in chapter 16, verse 25, and we're going to read through verse 34. Before we dive into it, I was thinking about when I was a kid, and I began reading stories about a guy named Harry Handcuff Houdini. You may have heard that last name before, Houdini. He was known as an escaped artist. And of course, you can tell by his name that one of the things that was most impressive about him was his ability to get out of jail cells, straitjackets, and of course, handcuffs. And I've got a picture to show of Harry Handcuff Houdini. This was taken in 1899. You can see that picture of him. He's got more than one handcuff on right there. He would say that his most difficult escape happened when he tried to get out of some handcuffs made by a locksmith. This locksmith took 5 years to create the perfect handcuffs that he thought were inescapable. Well, Harry took up the challenge of getting out of these handcuffs, and there were thousands of people watching, somewhere around 100 press there to see if Harry Houdini could get out of inescapable handcuffs. And he did it, but it took a pretty long time. It took him well over an hour to get out of that pair of handcuffs. And he would go on to say it was his most challenging escape. Well, today we're going to read about an escape story that never happened. Acts chapter 16, picking up in verse 25, going through verse 34, we're going to read about Paul and Silas, who were Christian missionaries after Jesus' resurrection, sent to tell the Gentile world, meaning those who were non-Jewish, about Jesus. And so they're in the city of Philippi, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, a crazy story. They come in contact with a slave girl who is possessed by a spirit that enables her to tell the future. And she's disrupting their ministry, even though she's saying, hey, these guys are telling you the way to salvation. But it was too much for Paul. And so Paul cast out the demon from this girl. And the owners of the girl had lost out on the money they were making off of this slave girl that could predict the future. And so what they did is they lied about Paul and Silas and told the Roman government that they were, you know, trying to encourage people to disobey Roman customs. And that's not what happened, but that was the story that would get them into trouble. And it did. In fact, after being beaten severely, they are put in kind of like a maximum security prison of the day. And they would have been put in shackles, which in other circumstances, those same shackles would have been used to torture people by spreading people out and stretching them further and further apart. And they are guarded heavily. And one of the things we know about guards in the first century, not only then, but particularly then, Roman guards were responsible for their prisoners. And if their prisoners escaped, they would die at the hands of the Roman government. We've read about that before in Acts, in fact. So that's the story that we're picking up on. Paul and Silas are in jail in Philippi. Verse 25. Let's read God's word together. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Verse 31, then they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. This is the word of God. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for this unfolding story that we get to read about how your Holy Spirit inspired, led, and strengthened, and gave words and powerful acts to the apostles. And God, while this is a story about Christian men long ago sharing your word with others, it's also our story. Because they had the courage and boldness and faith that could not be jailed. We hear about the gospel today. And now we go and share the gospel with others. And God, you use your word to instruct us in that work, to encourage us in that work, to strengthen us for this work. So I pray that you would do exactly that through your Holy Spirit's work in us, through this message that we have to consider today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, if you think about what Paul and Silas are going through, they have just been beaten, verse 24 tells us, starting in verse 23, we read that they have been severely flogged. That would have meant they were beaten with rods, severely. So they're in a great amount of pain. They're sitting in what would have been, for their day, something like a maximum security prison. They're put in these stocks that would have been uncomfortable. So there's no surprise that they're not sleeping, right? So they're awake. There they are, in prison. And for what? For casting out a demon from a slave girl. For being faithful to Jesus to deliver the message, the good news about what Jesus has done on earth. And how death could not hold him. And they're sitting in prison for all of that. Had it not been for all of that, they would have been in the comfort of their own homes. But here they are in prison, away from home, in Philippi for the gospel. So, what would your attitude be? when you think about like being in their shoes, what do you think your frame of mind would be? Frustrated, annoyed, irritated, scared, angry, bitter. Not these guys. Verse 25, we read that about midnight, they are praying and singing hymns. They're not just doing this quietly, right? They're not trying to be discreet. Hey, let's not wake anybody else up. Let's not bother anybody. You know, let's let the jailer keep sleeping because you know what? We want to be nice to that guy so that maybe he's nice to us. No, they're doing this loud enough that others hear it. We read the other prisoners were listening to them. They're bearing witness while in prison. The very gospel that they're there for, they're singing about and praying about while in prison, and others are hearing it. And then in the midst of this two-man worship service, an earthquake occurs, which would not have been uncommon for their day and their location. But there's something uniquely miraculous about this earthquake, because it's not just any earthquake. It's an earthquake that potentially could set them free, right? It jars the doors open. And the shackles for which, you know, they would have been tied to the wall, the earthquake was strong enough to also knock those shackles out of the wall. So there they are. And the jailer obviously wakes up. He wakes up and he realizes that with all these doors open, that his prisoners certainly had run away. Because why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't the prisoners escape? Right? I mean, if you're Harry Houdini and you can get out of some handcuffs, wouldn't you do it? Of course you would. I mean, he made a pretty good living off of that back in the day. Very well known for being able to escape. Well, this was like a pretty easy escape. No miracle, no human-made miracle needed, right? God had already provided the miracle to get them out, to free them, so that they could escape with their lives. But they stay put. The jailer thinks they're gone, and so he's going to kill himself. Now, that may seem weird to us, because if you are a jailer today and someone escapes, guess what? You're not killing yourself, right? But in their day, as I said earlier, the prisoners, they were held directly responsible for those, the jailers were held directly responsible for those in prison. And so if they escaped, that jailer was going to face some serious punishment, even death. And so the jailer thought, it's better to kill myself than let somebody else do it and make it even more painful than it has to be. So he draws his sword. He's about to take his own life. And then Paul shouts at him, don't harm yourself. We're all here. Now, I don't know who all is in there. And I don't know why they all stayed. But we get an idea that Paul and Silas stayed for this guy, for this jailer. The jailer is so surprised that when they light up the room and he confirms that everybody's there, he falls down trembling in front of Paul and Silas. And in verse 30 he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now I can only imagine he asked that question because he heard Paul and Silas. Maybe he was out in the city of Philippi and heard them as they were going around sharing the gospel. Maybe he heard them while they were on, while they were in prison and they were praying and singing these songs. But somewhere he heard enough of the message of Jesus from Paul and Silas. And he saw enough from the character of Paul and Silas that he wanted what they had, which was the assurance of salvation. And of course, Paul and Silas, they share the simplest, clearest statement of what is necessary for salvation. Because maybe you're wondering that too. What must I do to be saved? You know you're a sinner. You know if there is a hell, if you believe in it, then you deserve to go there. What must you do to be saved from hell? Saved for heaven? What must you do to be saved from your sins? Well, the answer that Paul and Silas gave the jailer is the same answer that they would give you or I. It's the simple gospel truth. What must we do? We must believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. Somewhere in here, this guy is so, the jailer is so blown away by what's happened. He has brought Paul and Silas to his home. We don't read the transition of when this took place, but somewhere right in this interaction, he brings them to his household. So then, God opens the door for Paul and Silas, to share the gospel with the rest of his family. And that's the promise he says. He says, listen, you're going to be saved by this message. This is kind of a prophetic word, and so is your family. And his family hears the message too, and they too are saved. And we read at the end of verse 33 that he, the jailer, and all his household were baptized. The jailer brings them into his house. So this probably would have happened in the courtyard of his house or right outside of his house because all of his family is there. But then they hear this and then they sit down. Just imagine this. The jailer and the prisoners now are brothers in Christ. And they sit at this jailer's table. And he, the jailer, verse 34, was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. Not just him, but he and his entire household. Now, what would have happened if Paul and Silas would have said, God's provided a miracle for us to escape. Let's get out of this tight spot, right? Let's get out of this trial. And that's happened before, right? The disciples have been in this spot before, and that's exactly what happened. God set them free, and they left. But something about this situation, somehow, Paul and Silas knew they weren't to escape this trial. They were supposed to sit right in the middle of it. And I think it was clearly because this jailer needed to not just hear the gospel prayed and sung, but in some way act it out. And Paul and Silas staying there, that this man may not take his life, and then sharing the clear gospel with him, I think is the reason why Paul and Silas were willing to embrace rather than escape their trial. And I think about that for you and I. Because let's be honest, any trial that we are in, we want to escape as quickly as possible. It's just human nature. There's a great little story. I don't remember the first time I ever heard it, but I heard it a long time ago. Probably another one of those when I was a kid stories. I'm sure it was. It's called Peter and the Magic Thread. You ever heard that story? So Peter is a little boy, and like many little boys, he did not really like going to school. And he would sit there in school all day, just kind of bored, daydreaming, wishing the day would be over so he could go and run and play. Well, one day after a particularly, you know, boring day of school, he's walking home and just kind of wandering through the wilderness. He takes a little break beside the road. And as he starts to nod off, this elderly lady approaches him and addresses him by name, which would have been, you know, surprising to him. How does this lady, whom I don't know my name? And she says, "Peter, take a look at this golden ball of thread. Would you like to hold it?" So he reaches out and takes a hold of it. And she says, "Now, be very careful, because that ball of thread represents your life." So he's, of course, very intrigued, first of all, to have this lady who he doesn't know him, and then to hold this ball, golden ball of string. I mean, that would have been something, you know. But now to hear her say, "This represents his life?" She says, "You see that thread that's sticking out of the ball? If you just pull a little bit of it, a little bit of time will pass in your life. If you pull a lot of it, a lot of time will pass in your life. And you can keep that ball. But be very careful when you choose to pull the string and for how long." Now you can imagine, you know, little kid feels like, hey, this is a great deal. If nothing else, you can pawn that ball of gold and get some money, right? So next day he's back in class and he's brought the ball, the golden thread wound up in a ball with him to school. And, you know, whatever the subject is that bores little boys, whether it was math or science or reading or whatever. And he's just getting, you know, tired of listening to the teacher. So he just takes that little ball of thread, and under his desk, he just kind of holds it, and he just pulls a little bit out. Before he knows it, school's over. He's free. So he escapes out of class, out of school. Wonderful. Now, before you know it, he's getting really accustomed to pulling the thread during the school day. And then if a little bit of thread will get you through a day, a little bit more thread will get you through a week, and a little bit more thread could get you through a whole semester. You slow down for the summers, which are fun, until you've got to go and work and do chores, and then you just, you know, you pull the thread through that. And he became accustomed to pulling the thread whenever, you know, he had things to do he didn't want to do. And pretty soon, he's pulled so much thread, and he's pulled it so hard that in a moment's time, his whole life has gone by. That's human nature. When we're in a trial, even if it's just the mundane of the day, if we're in a trial, much less the mundane, when we're in a difficult, challenging time, we would love to have that ball of thread, pull a little bit on it, and just get through it, right? We want to escape. We would love to be the Houdini of a pandemic, right? Let's get out of this now. Let's get out of these chains now, right? But what if God is calling us to sit in the suffering? Not just that we might learn, but that the watching world might learn something from us as Christians. Let me tell you, Christians, we're not doing a great job of that. Our witness has not been stellar. At least not in our country. At least not what I see. I sound a little judgmental there. But you understand. We are uncomfortable with suffering. And who is really super comfortable with it? I mean, Paul and Silas, you know, they're singing in the midst of it. So maybe there's something supernaturally, or this, that the Holy Spirit can supernaturally empower us to sit still in that moment. When we could escape, when we could run, when we could hide, when we could get out of it. But to know that if we sit in the middle of it, we don't try to escape, we don't try to, you know, fill our days with, you know, just entertainment. You know, we don't try to, you know, spend all of our time shopping online. You know, that we don't try to do whatever, that instead of doing everything we can to escape the trial or the challenge that we're facing, I just wonder, what if God's calling us to quiet ourselves, still ourselves, focus on Him, and sit instead of trying to escape? And by doing so, that we might have a witness to the watching world that when everybody else is freaking out, Christians are calm. When everybody else, and this is silly, but everybody else is buying up all the toilet paper, Christians are not. When everybody else is losing their mind and are going crazy and are filled with worry and fear, Christians have a different way of managing all that. See, it's not that we're not going to feel differently. I would guess Paul and Silas probably did want to get out, did want to escape, did want to be free. So it's not that we're experiencing something internally different than so many. It's what we do with it. See, we have the power to remind ourselves of the truth. And I think what Paul and Silas saw in this moment was, by our actions, this jailer can come to know the Lord Jesus. If we don't escape, he'll live. And if he lives, we can share with him the good news of Christ. And that's exactly what they did, because they were willing to embrace rather than try to escape their own trial. So who is watching you and I? Who's paying attention to us? Who is examining our lives as we go through this pandemic trial, or maybe a jobless trial, or maybe a relationship challenge trial? Who's watching us? And what would it look like if they saw us faithfully sit in the middle of suffering and worship the Lord Jesus, to focus on Him? It could change, literally change someone's life. This same Paul would later write to the church in Corinth. He'd say to them in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, he says, "Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort." Listen to what he says in verse 4. "Who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." Paul and Silas were imprisoned in jail for the gospel. But the man that was watching over them, this jailer, was also imprisoned, but by his own sin. Paul already knew about the freedom from sin, and already received comfort from the Lord Jesus Christ about the truth of Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection. Because he had experienced that comfort, he was able to extend that same comfort to this man, so that this man may know the comfort which brought about great joy, because he came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who himself did not come down off the cross and escape the same government's harsh treatment of him. He could have escaped. He says himself, "I could call down 10,000 angels. They would come and rescue me immediately." But he stayed there. Instead of trying to escape that trial that is the cross, he embraced it. And that has made all the difference for us. Instead of trying to escape that jail cell, Paul and Silas sat in the middle of the suffering And it changed this jailer's life. And instead of trying to escape the challenges you're facing, what would it be like to endure them? And whose life might you impact if you do? Someone's, I bet. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for the testimony of these men, our brothers in Christ. Sometimes it can seem like they are so different than us, that we are so much weaker, that our faith is so much smaller, but that's not true. The same Jesus that's in their life is in our life. The same Holy Spirit that empowered them, Father, you have given us to empower us to live lives faithful to your Son Jesus, that the world around us might see, not only in what we sing, not only in what we pray, not only in what we say, but in what we do, they might see in our very lives that there is salvation, and to embrace it brings joy. What the jailer knew, I pray everyone listening to this message will know. And if they don't, they might see in his simple request and Paul's clear answer the way to know your Son Jesus through faith in him. God, I thank you that we can be saved, that you want us to come to know your Son Jesus, that that's the kind of God you are. For that we give thanks, and it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, if you're listening to this and you are not a Christian, and maybe you're asking the same question this jailer has asked in this passage, what must I do to be saved? And you want to respond by believing in the Lord Jesus, then you are saved and we want to hear from you. We'd love to talk to you about that decision that God has brought you to make. And so please let us know that you have made that decision. You can go to our website, fbckennedy.org/guest, and fill out the response or fill out the guest form there and let us know your response to today's message. You can call or email us. You have that information. Our email address is church@fbckennedy.org. Our phone number is 830-583-2539. You can call us anytime between 8 and 4, Mondays through Thursdays. We would love to hear from you. Share your prayer requests, share personal updates, but we especially want to hear from those of you who are guests with us, and if you've made a decision to accept Christ based on what you've heard today, we want to hear from you. So please reach out to us and let us know about that decision. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and if you're willing and able, join us next Sunday, 11 o'clock, right here in our sanctuary, as we have in-person worship. And if you're not ready or you can't do that just yet, please continue to tune in with us on Facebook and our online platform, and you can always listen to the sermon. It's a tape-delayed sermon on the radio. You can go to our website, fbckennedy.org/sermons, and catch up on any sermons that you have missed in the past or listen to some, re-listen to some if you'd like. Whatever way we can serve you, please let us know. Okay, now we're going to turn it back over to Josh. Love you guys. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.